Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from tonight's Old Testament reading in Isaiah 60. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. This is God's word. Once again, a blessed Epiphany to each and every one of you. It's a holiday that doesn't get a whole lot of play here in the United States, not just in the Lutheran church, but really not any churches in the U.S. anymore. That's not true around the world. Down in Puerto Rico, you might have heard me mention this once or twice, that Epiphany is a huge celebration. They call it Dia de los Reyes, Day of the Kings. And it's almost as big of a celebration as Christmas is. In fact, our youngest Sophia still kept a Puerto Rican tradition. I don't know if you heard me, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, I might have mentioned it at Bible study on Thursday, that in Puerto Rico, the kids will put out shoe boxes the night before Three Kings Day, Epiphany, and they'll put grass in them for the camels, because it's the three kings that bring you gifts. It's kind of like stockings or putting out cookies for Santa. They put out grass for the camels. Well, kind of hard to find grass this time of year here in Kingsford, but she cut up some pieces of paper and made her own grass, and we made sure the kings put some candy in her box. We didn't go too far out. It was just Christmas, just 12 days ago. Epiphany, though, is a great big celebration there, not just in Puerto Rico, but all throughout Latin America, where they have processions and festivals. And of course, in Puerto Rico, they drink a lot and they eat a lot of really good food. That's kind of how they celebrate everything. In the Orthodox Church, and there are some Orthodox churches, Eastern Orthodox, here in the United States, not a huge church, but it is a church with a very big presence throughout the world, especially in Eastern Europe and in Russia and in the former Soviet republics and even in parts of Africa. In the Orthodox Church, this day is their big day of celebration, more so than Christmas. And there's a tradition of calling Epiphany Gentile Christmas, because it was on this day that the wise men went to see Jesus. And it probably wasn't 12 days after Jesus was born. It was probably quite a bit of time. He would have definitely still have been a baby. But he was no longer in the stable, no longer sleeping in a manger. It says they went to his home to bring him gifts. Nonetheless, the Magi are in front of our manger tonight. One of the themes of Epiphany that you've already heard in the hymns tonight, and you heard it in the readings, is the contrast between light and darkness. Now, we heard that in Advent as well. In fact, I think it was one of my midweek sermons was on that theme of light and darkness. We also had the Advent wreath, which is no longer up, but the Advent wreath grows brighter and brighter each Sunday until Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when we light the Christ candle in the middle, signifying that Christ has come, born in Bethlehem. Well, Epiphany takes that theme of light and darkness, and it enhances it, and it becomes the center of this day. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into this world of darkness. And for that reason, I think Epiphany is important to observe. All of these different days in the Christian church year have importance for us. On Christmas, we celebrate that God came into this world and took on human flesh, right? And on Good Friday, Jesus is the one who's nailed to the cross, where he dies for the sins of the world. On Easter, Jesus is the one who rises from the dead so that we might rise as well, victorious. On Pentecost, even, we observe that God sends his Holy Spirit to his people to strengthen them in faith and service toward him. On Epiphany, the theme is that God sends light into the world of darkness. And in the Bible, darkness equals sin, death, and Satan. Kind of all of it wrapped up. That is the darkness that has covered this world in which we live. And so I invite you to ask yourself tonight, how have sin, death, and the devil cast darkness over the world? It's really not hard to figure out. Every time there's a tragedy that catches our attention, that's the darkness in which we live. Whether it's protesters in Iran being killed by the government that sees them as a threat, or whether it's the families of two teenagers grieving because they were killed tragically in a car accident and were laid to rest this past week. We kind of dealt with that in our family. My oldest has only been at Kingsford for a couple months, but did know both the girls who lost their lives. And so this week was one of funerals for her. It's darkness. The darkness is sin, death, Satan. All of that is behind these different things. And it's personal for us too, right? Maybe there's a personal darkness with which you wrestle. It can be the guilt of a sin in the past. It can be a love of something that is contrary to what God has commanded. Those things that you hold on to, that darkness, they're, like I said, it's all sin, death, Satan, darkness. It's all one big, ugly mess. That vice, that sin you hold on to, it's the same as holding on to hate and violence and tragedy and death and grief and all these things that we recognize as darkness. We cling on to them when we cling to sin, when we cling to the things that we love that God has commanded we avoid. Because you see, that darkness that we love, and make no mistake about it, each of us, as poor, miserable sinners, loves the darkness. Because we think the darkness hides what we're doing, what we're thinking, what's in our hearts. And that same darkness that we love is the same darkness that tears our world apart on a daily basis and has been doing so ever since Adam and Eve ate forbidden fruit. In the words of Isaiah, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." That darkness, in Isaiah's words and his prophecy, covers everything and everyone. You don't escape it. You can't hide from it. You can't think you're somehow immune from it. It is everywhere. It covers the earth and every people, every place, every person has a heart darkened and blackened by sin, a heart that longs for what God has forbidden. And so Isaiah speaks to a people covered in darkness and says, "Arise and shine, because your light has come." Just as sin and holiness are opposites, just as death and life are opposites, just as grief and joy are opposites, so light and darkness are opposing forces, like God and Satan are opposing forces, enemies pitted against one another. Light is the natural opponent of darkness. And so, to a people, to a world covered in darkness, God the Father sends the light. He sends his Son, Jesus Christ. As Isaiah calls it, he sends his glory. That word glory is found all throughout the Bible. That word glory is associated with God's presence. Where God is present, God's glory is there. And God's glory is a nearly impossible thing to behold, unless he's merciful and allows you to glimpse it. Remember the story of Moses when he climbed Mount Sinai to receive the tablets of the law, to hand to the people of Israel. We read that his face shone like the sun, so much so that he had to wear a veil over his face so that people could even look at him. That's what happens when you're in the presence of God, when you're in the presence of his glory. God commanded Israel to build the tabernacle, the inner of which was the Holy of Holies, and we hear that God's glory filled the tabernacle. He was present with his people. Isaiah tells us that God's glory is the light that scatters the darkness of the world. Jesus is the glory of God in human flesh. He is the only light that scatters the darkness of sin, death, and the devil. In this world, as darkness threatens to fill us with despair and hopelessness, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the one who is able to bring peace where there's violence, able to bring love where there's hate, able to bring comfort where there once was grief, able to bring forgiveness where there once was sin, able to bring life where there was once only death. Jesus, the glory of God, shines these things into our world of darkness. In Jesus, God showed his glory to the world. In Jesus, God allowed the world to look at his glory. What caused Moses to glow from his face and need to wear a veil, he allows us to glimpse in Jesus. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I haven't seen Jesus. You haven't seen him in his body. You will one day. But you have seen him in your midst, in the word and the sacrament that he promises is his presence among you. Because in Jesus, the word become flesh, as we hear in John's gospel. In Jesus, God is with his people. In Jesus, the one who was foretold as Emmanuel, God with us, he does just that. He's with his people. In Jesus, God makes himself known. In Jesus, God's glory shines upon you. In the word you hear from this pulpit and from that lectern, in the word and sacrament that you receive from this altar, in the forgiveness of sins that is yours, you enter the Holy of Holies, you see God's face, you come before the holy throne of God. You do not need to live in the darkness without hope, without love, without peace. Because all of these are found in Christ. And he reveals this glory of his in the most unique of places. In a manger before the magi, the kings, the wise men. And of course, on the cross. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that the cross is folly. It's foolishness to the world. But to us who are being saved, Paul says, it is God's wisdom. On the cross, on this place where the Son of God is put to death, we see God's glory. Because there God is saving the world. There he is shining light into the darkness. There we find forgiveness with the blood that he sheds. We find eternal life in the face of death. We find salvation from Satan. that enemy of ours. Isaiah writes, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory will be seen upon you." He also writes, "Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall gather from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip." Isaiah describes all of these people coming to the light because of Israel. That's who Isaiah was writing to. He was calling Israel the ones that they would all flock to. And they did. They came from the east with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They came to Israel. They came to Bethlehem to bring gifts to the one who was the king, the one who was the light. Unlikely Bethlehem, they came because he was the light of the world. And from that manger, from that city, from that place shone the glory of God. There's another unlikely place that shines forth with God's glory. And that's you. You shine with the glory of God because he makes himself present with you and in you, in his word and in his gifts. And like Israel, you shine forth the glory of God. Like the star that led the wise men from the east to come and worship the Christ, you are like that star. The people of this world come to Christ because they see it shine in the love and life of others. In this world of darkness, in this place where so many people grieve, where so many people are without hope, where so many people are without joy, where so many people believe that all is lost, the light of Christ shines in the word you take with you today, that he has come to scatter the darkness and to call us to his light. God grant that each and every one of you would pour his glory, would have his God's glory poured upon you, and shine forth the light of Christ to those you meet. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.